Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Melinda Gilstrap. Ma'am, you may begin.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining today. We are going to, in the next hour and a half or so, we are going to go through the information on the IBM Siebel. And this session is specifically geared toward technical specialists and the folks who are not going to be necessarily managing opportunities in Siebel, but who will be working with opportunities in Siebel. So what I'm going to do is take you first through an overview of information that you need to know regarding the CRM OM opportunity management process in IBM, sort of how that works, and then we will do a demo of how to create accounts and contacts and opportunities and activities in Siebel. After that, we will open it up for questions. I have with me today Sandra Brogy, who is was the Vice President of Operations for Cognos, and she's now in the operations organization for IBM, and she will be able to help us with some of the questions that we may have regarding process and how there's a difference between IBM, and she has a lot of very, she's very knowledgeable about the IBM process and about Siebel, and sort of is very, very helpful in being able to bridge the gap between the two processes and systems. So at this time, we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to give you first an introduction to opportunity management. The opportunity management system in IBM, we have a what we call roles for everybody. There are sales teams, as you're used to with Cognos, and at every sales stage, we have someone who is designated as the primary. And the sales team, the person on the sales team who is the primary actually has a check mark beside their name if you view the sales team in Siebel. And those are that is what determines the role the person is playing. So if you look at this chart, you can see that the opportunity to noticer is actually the person who keys the opportunity into Siebel. So if you key in an opportunity into Siebel, you will become the noticer. And that is a role that you keep that cannot be reassigned to anyone else. The roles in Siebel basically are not things, you don't go in and put a role next to your name and say, oh, I'm the opportunity noticer or I'm the opportunity identifier. It is determined strictly by who has the primary check at a specific sales stage. So the noticer is just the person who keys it in. Then you get to the opportunity identifier. And the role that the person who is the OI fills is that they make sure that the opportunity is validated. And a validated opportunity in IBM means that the customer has a specific pain point. The customer is going to buy something, and we have access to a key decision maker. So Sandra, I think it's my understanding that this is probably the role that the tech sales folks and would probably be having most of the time. They wouldn't necessarily be the OO, but they would be the OI. Is that correct?
They could be, but probably more of our techs are team members.
Okay.
Supporting opportunities and doing early activities to progress those opportunities.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to. That was one of the things I wasn't quite sure. So, the OI role is that anyway the person who validates it. So if you enter an opportunity into Siebel, and you have the primary, you automatically have the primary if you key the opportunity in to Siebel, and if you pass it to somebody else in one of the sales reps or one of the inside sales reps at a sales stage 4 and move it to a sales stage 4, you will be the OI on the opportunity. That role will be assigned to you. So if you pass the primary check to someone prior to it being moved to a cell stage 4 than the person who you pass it to when they progress it to a cell stage 4 becomes the OI. So that we can talk about that a little bit more when I do the demo, but just wanted to make sure you understood if you need to be the OI, you would keep the primary check and move the opportunity to a cell stage 4 and then move it to the field sales rep. If you don't need to be the OI, then it doesn't matter when you move it. Okay, and then the opportunity owner is the person who's actually moving, progressing the opportunity through to fulfillment or closing it if it's determined that it is not something that IBM can pursue. And you will be a sales team member only, as Sandra just said. I wanted to make sure that what I had on here was clear. So you will be added as a sales team member. You would not necessarily fill one of these roles. This is just for your information. It is a mapping of the sales stages that were previously used by Cognos and the ones that are used by IBM in progressing opportunities. Again, if you're not progressing opportunities, this is not quite as important to you, but it might be important to you as you're working on an opportunity to be able to observe the sales stage and know where the rep is in this particular opportunity and know how far it has progressed. Okay, these are verifiable outcomes for the sales stages. And so this kind of gives you an idea of what has happened with the opportunity. For instance, if it is validated, it's what I just said. It's a customer-stated business need, business capability, and agreement to support Team IBM's access to a key decision leader. And if it's qualified, basically what that says is we've agreed to go forward. Not only does the customer have a business need, but but IBM has a solution for that business need, and that is something that the opportunity owner has to determine. Then you move through conditionally agreed, where they have said, okay, we like this solution, we think this is the one we're going to buy, and of course then you go through the winning and implementing, where we've actually signed the contract and we're implementing the solution. So we're going to now talk about Siebel and what is important about Siebel. What does that have to do with it? Siebel is the process that's used, is the tool and the system that's used to support the OM process. And it gives visibility to everyone who is a stakeholder in an opportunity to how the opportunity is progressing, where we are, what's going on with the opportunity. And within IBM, because of our matrix management and because of the fact that there are always a number of reps who are interested in the opportunity and interested in what's going on at the in the opportunity and with the client, this is a way that we can give them visibility to that. So, the process allows the client rep, who's the person who owns the relationship with the customer, and any other product specialist, a hardware rep or services rep or another rep within another brand, if all of those things are involved in the opportunity, it allows everybody to be able to see the progression. And it also supports the CVM, which is our customer value methodology. That's our sales methodology in IBM. That's the name that we have given to it. It supports that process. It is a web-based application. There is no way to do it disconnected. And it enables information sharing worldwide. Now, when I say that, I have to put a little bit of a caveat on it in that there are three instances of Siebel in IBM. There is one for the Americas, there is one for Europe, and then there's one for Asia-Pacific Japan. So there are three distinct systems. You are not able to see opportunities for accounts in Europe or in Asia, if you have access only to the Americas. But what it does do and how we can say that it allows information sharing worldwide is the fact that all three of those systems look exactly the same. They are, the fields are the same, the processes are the same, so you have an apples-to-apples comparison. Now, there may be some very minor changes in the process, but for the most part, it is exactly the same. And every night, the information from the from Siebel is dumped into our reporting system, which is the Enterprise Information Warehouse, or the EIW. And what happens is the next morning, folks who have access to our reporting tools are able to pull information worldwide, and you can see what's going on across the globe with all of our accounts, and the information is exactly the same. So because the tools are the same, even though there are three instances, they do allow worldwide information sharing. And so it supports the idea of one IBM. Because all of the stakeholders have the same information, they can all go into an account and be able to talk the same language and understand what's going on, and we don't have 14 different people going to an account with 14 different stories and not really understanding what's happening. It is a repository for contacts, accounts, opportunities, and activities. Now, this is the topography of Siebel. One of the things that's different about Siebel, and one of the things that's different about the IBM process, is that Siebel requires a contact at the account to be put into the opportunity before you can create it. It is a required field, and without a contact, you cannot create an opportunity. The contact then links back to the account. So the opportunity here is created against the contact, which then pulls in account information. Another thing that's different, which you will see if you're on the sales team, is that we have a concept called revenue records. So within a single opportunity, we can have three or four different product families being sold that are being part of that opportunity. So revenue item 45 here could be, say, a Cognos product. Revenue item 44 could be a hardware product. 43 could be Tivoli or another IM product, WebSphere or whatever. So what that allows us to do is look at the entire deal and that's going on at a client team, and you can see all of the different components of a deal under one opportunity so that you don't have to try and link a bunch of opportunities together. But an opportunity can also have a one-on-one relationship. In other words, there could be only one revenue record. There may be one Cognos product family associated with the opportunity, and that's all. Now, the activities at the bottom here, you can create activities against accounts. You can create activities against contacts. You can create activities against opportunities. And we'll talk a little bit more about activities. And one thing I did want to mention to you, as I'm going along, you know, if you have questions about this, please jot them down, as we will have that Q&A session the operator mentioned at the end of the session. So, you know, there may be things here that I'm not explaining completely or that you don't understand, so please make sure you make a note of your questions, and we'll answer them at the end. Okay, so the solution specialist role will be that you can create accounts, contacts, and opportunities in Siebel. You will be a sales team member on opportunities, and you will pass on ownership of the opportunities that you create to sales reps. So if you do, as you're working with an account or working on some pre-sale stuff, find that there's something else that needs to be put into Siebel as a separate opportunity, you will be able to do that. So let's talk about information to help you get started. There are product family categories in Siebel. In Siebel, we don't talk about the buying agenda that you're used to at Cognos, that you were used to in Salesforce.com. IBM tracks product families, so those revenue records are what we look at instead of a buying agenda. And you can see the what we call the level 20, which is really a brand statement. We have analytics and performance management. That is now the name for Cognos. Level 30 here are the individual product families, and these are the product families that are available in Siebel. If you look at opportunities that we migrated, you may see a lot of opportunities that are for Cognos Query, Ref, and Analysis. And this is actually financial consolidation. This chart is a little bit back level. The FPM, they were all migrated as EBI or FPM. And once we did some changes, we mapped them. So the reps have gone in. They have all gone through their training. They have hopefully updated it so that it's not necessarily just these two products, the Cognos Financial Consolidation and Query Reporting and Analysis, but it is actually the individual product families that are real. So the opportunity data, this chart is what we showed the reps. Actually, at this point, since the rep training has been completed as of Monday for the Americas, we are no longer doing any data feeds into Siebel. The reps are now working in Siebel solely. Their opportunities are all in Siebel. They have hopefully by this point updated everything that needed to be updated, created sales teams, and their Salesforce.com IDs are read-only. excuse me. What we have migrated for accounts, we have migrated accounts if they had an active opportunity. Now, we have been migrating data for almost 2 years, so we have quite a number of your accounts in Siebel. We created one primary contact per account as these opportunities were loaded into Siebel. And we have actually, within the last week, the marketing folks migrated another 350,000 Cognos opportunities into Siebel. So we have a good number of your contacts. We don't have all of them, probably maybe a third of them or something like that. But we do have quite a number of them in there. And accounts, probably not mid-market accounts, unless there has been an opportunity created. So there's probably a number of accounts that maybe are not in there yet. The BDRs or LDRs, as they are now called, will be still using Salesforce.com for some period. The original target was to have them move off of Salesforce.com in July. At this point, I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen, but Salesforce.com will be available to them up until July. So you will have access to some history in Salesforce.com in a read-only status for some period of time, and then after that, until July, the BDRs will be able to give you access to it. And as I mentioned, there's already 2 years of history in Siebel. But there will be archived data that Paul Costain possibly will be able to get you. So that concludes at this point the overview presentation. Sandra, did you have anything to add to this?
No, I just said at this point. Yeah, I'll just save it to the end after they see the application.
Okay. All right. Okay, I am now going to talk to you about, do a demo of accounts and contacts and opportunities in Siebel. One of the things that I want to briefly go through is the user preferences. Now, one thing I probably need to make sure you understand is this: what you're seeing now with Siebel is Siebel version 7. Siebel version 8 is going to be available on March the 1st. We do have a new version coming out next Monday. It looks a lot different than this. The screens are a lot different. So I'm not really going to spend a lot of time talking about user preferences. User preferences is a way that you customize, you can customize what you see. Because when you sign on to Siebel, you're not going to see things. You're not going to see your tabs in this order. You're not going to see a lot of the things that I have set up. Your columns are not going to be in this order. That's because I have gone through and done a lot of customization. I have set this up so that it's easy for me to use. On Monday, when the new version comes out, it's my understanding that there's going to be a template pushed out to everyone. So my customization is not necessarily going to move to version 8. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how you customize it, because the functionality of version 8 is really the same as the functionality of version 7. So if I show you how you customize it in version 7, which is what we're looking at right now, when V8 comes out on Monday, you would be able to go through the same steps to customize V8. So with user preferences, this tab, when you sign on to Siebel, this tab is probably, you're going to have to scroll way, way over to the right to find it. But I think probably what I need to do, I think I'm jumping a little bit ahead. Let me talk a little bit about the navigation, just so you'll kind of understand the terminology. With Siebel version 7, you don't use any of this part of the Explorer here. You basically need to stay below the blue line here. The back buttons, the forward buttons, all of that stuff on the browser does not work on version 7. Now, on version 8, that will not be the case. So I want to briefly go through navigation here, but I'm going to spend more time on the things that are going to be the same as opposed to the things that are different. Accounts, contacts, opportunities, these are all the different modules or tabs that are available. Each one of the, this contains all of our account information, this contains all our contact information, this contains all our opportunity information. Now, you have visibility. Visibility in Siebel is determined by the geography, the geographic territory that you cover. So if you are in the East IMT, when you click on accounts, you're going to see everything that's all the accounts that are in the East IMT. Same thing with contacts and opportunities. If you have the U.S., you'll see all of the U.S., et cetera. With opportunities, and I didn't talk about visibility, so I'll talk about it now. With opportunities, you only can see those opportunities. You can see the opportunity, but you cannot see the detail information on an opportunity if you're not on the sales team. So being on the sales team is really, really key, because that's the only way that you are able to view an opportunity and the only way that you're able to update an opportunity. Okay? Right here, beneath the tabs that go across the top, you have this box that says Show. These are all of the views that are available for each one of these modules. So, for instance, your views may be different than mine because I have a different access than you do, but I can see my opportunities, my team's opportunities, all opportunities, and so on. So these are all of the different views of opportunities that I have. This button right here is a history button. So if I've been in Siebel for quite some period of time and I click on this, and I can see everywhere I've been. I can see the name of the opportunity, the number of the opportunity. I can see the account names. I can see the contact names. This is the back button that's used with version 7. So you don't use the browser back and forward buttons. You use these two buttons. Again, not going to spend a lot of time trying to remind you of that, because if you sign on to Siebel between now and Monday, you do need to use these buttons. If you use this button, it will knock you out of the system. on Monday, you can use the back button. So it's not a habit that you're going to have to get used to. But this button is really, really handy because it keeps you from having to hit the back button three or four times if you wanted to go back to an account that you were working on a few steps back. The logout button is key, and that will be on version 8 as well. When you are finished, don't just close the browser, but click log out. Over further to the right, these are binoculars that you can be that you can use for search. This is a button that says reports. There really are no reports. I believe that button is going away in V8 because Siebel is not a reporting system. That's really key. All of our reporting is done out of the EIW, which I mentioned earlier. You can do some queries in Siebel, but as far as trying to do elaborate reports, you cannot do that in Siebel. It has to be done in the EIW. So as I move over here, the queries are used to further qualify this view that I'm looking at. So I have a view of open opportunities. That's my default query. But I could also look at opportunities where I am on the sales team for, say, the current quarter. Also, one that's really key is the My Pending Acceptance. When you are assigned to a sales team, and some of you may have already gotten notes that tell you that someone has assigned you to a sales team, if you've gotten a lot of those notes, rather than clicking the hyperlink in each one of those notes and going to each one of those opportunities to accept it, you can actually look at this query that says My Pending Acceptance. And if you click on that query, what you're going to get, I have three opportunities here that someone has assigned to me. I can either accept them one at a time, or I can hold down the control key. And shift and highlight them, which I'm trying to do. Hold on a minute. And then I can accept all of them at the same time. So you can either accept them one at a time, or you can just do what I did, which is hold the control key and click on each one of them. And then I click this button, Accept Opportunities, and I have now accepted all of those opportunities. And it tells me how many I have accepted, and I click OK, and now that view is gone. Okay? All right, and so that's how you... I think my system's hung up a minute, so hold on. Now if I go back to my pending acceptance, which is up here. I apologize, my system is, something's probably going on in the background. Okay, so now you see that view is blank, okay? All right, so that's sort of the navigation. Now, under each one of these tabs up here at the top, if I click on opportunities and I want to see my open opportunities, I get a list here. This is, when you click on anything at the very beginning, you get a list. At the bottom, I have information about that opportunity that's highlighted. I have KEOM data, which I'm not going to click right now. I have revenues, where I can see the revenue records that were created against that particular opportunity. These are the individual line items that I talked about earlier. I can now click on the activities against that opportunity. This one doesn't have any attachments or notes, and also the partners that are on the opportunity. It's probably not likely that this one has an opportunity. Now, the KEOM data tab right here is very, very important because, number one, if I can't see this KEOM data tab on an opportunity, that means I cannot update it and I'm not on the sales team. If I am on the sales team and I want to make a change, this KEOM data tab, that's where you have to click. So if I'm not on KOM data, say I'm on revenues, I cannot make any updates to this opportunity. I can't change the sell stage. I think I probably can change the decision date. Yeah, I can. But that's really the only thing that I can change. If I am on KOM data, at this point, I can then change the sell stage. I can go into revenue records, change them, that sort of thing. So that's really important. Okay. So that's sort of the navigation. Oh, one other thing that's really, really key is this menu tab button right here. If you can see this menu button, there's one on each one of the screens here, the top third and the bottom third of the screen. The menu button has things like save the record, delete the record, new query, run the query, and we will. I'll from time to time we'll click on that and or tell you that you need to click on the menu button. In version 8 of Siebel, this actually says menu, as opposed to having the little sheet of paper there that sometimes you don't know what you're talking about. Now, one thing that's really important that I run into in every class that I do is you can see this right here that says undo record. If I'm doing a query or something and I accidentally click new and I didn't really mean to create a new record, Siebel will not let you do anything until you start filling out the required data. It just pops up with notes that you've got to put in an opportunity description, or you've got to put in a legal name, or you've got to put in a last name or whatever. You can just click that undo record, and that will get you out of that loop. So let's go now to the accounts screen, and let's talk about querying for accounts and querying for and creating a new account. So as I told you, you will not have anything on the My Accounts view. There is a My Accounts view in Siebel. That will not be blank. That will be blank for you, because in Siebel, client teams own accounts. So I understand you are assigned accounts, or you are assigned reps who are assigned accounts, but client teams are the people who in Siebel, for purposes of Siebel, actually own the account. They are the ones who are on the account team. So you will need to go to the All Accounts view. One of the things that you need to make sure is that this query button right here doesn't say none. If that says none, I'm not going to get anything. And unfortunately, the default is none. So I have gone in and done some customization so that my default query says active buying accounts. Okay, so now I have a list, and I have access to all of the Americas, so I can see all of the accounts that are set up in the Americas. Now, if I want to search for a specific account, I click this query button here. And then in the legal name field, I will type in the name. So I'm going to click in. I'm just going to pick Talbot's because, sorry. Now, one thing, Siebel is case sensitive. So, okay, that gave me way too many. Let's try. Okay. So now I have a number of instances of that particular company, Talbot's. Now, again, one thing I mentioned I just sort of went over was that Siebel 7 is case sensitive. So I have to type a capital T-A-L-B-O-T-S, mixed case. That's something you'll only have to worry about for the next two or three days. After Monday, when version 8 comes out, it will not be case sensitive. So for certain fields. In fact, most fields that you're going to be searching on are not going to be case sensitive. I think the one exception is opportunity numbers. Opportunity numbers have their alphanumeric, and the alpha characters are all in all caps. And I think when you're searching for an opportunity number, you still have to put those alpha characters in uppercase. But most everything else is not case sensitive. So I've found a lot of accounts for Talbots. And maybe I only want to look at Talbots in Florida. So rather than scroll through here, I can go here to the menu button and do a refine query. So what that does is it leaves my Talbots here, and then I can put in Florida and click go. So now it's going to give me only a list of the Talbots accounts in Florida. So what I want to look for next, if I'm creating an opportunity, is I want to look for certain attributes. You see, there's in Tampa, Florida, there's three instances of Talbots here. What I want to do is look for one, number one, that has a customer number on it. So I have two that have customer numbers on it. This one is set up as an aligned account. You see here that we've got the coverage ID. We've got the type is aligned. And this one is set up as a GB account. Now, if I'm looking, if this is an aligned account, and I assume that maybe it is, I want to make sure that anything that I create, any opportunity I create or whatever, is created under this particular opportunity. Excuse me, this particular account. It has a customer number. It has an alternative language name. Okay. Now, if I want to look at, I have information here in this second group of tabs underneath this account here. I have a list of the contacts that are associated to this account. So I can click this, and I can look for a specific contact. And there's quite a number of contacts against this account. I can also look at opportunities against this account. And here we have, these are all opportunities, not just open opportunities, but closed opportunities within the last 2 years. Siegel has a 2-year history in it. So, you know, that's how you search for an account. So if you're creating an opportunity, you want to look for an account, and then you want to look for the contact that you need to create the opportunity against. Searching for contacts, it's really basically the same. I have a view of all contacts. I do have a My Contacts view, and you can have a My Contacts view as well. Basically, if you create a contact, they're automatically associated to you. So if I go to My Owned Contacts view here, I will see all of the opportunities, excuse me, all of the contacts that I have created, along with those. I have some extra contacts here, but you can also, if you find a contact, say I'm in the All Contacts view, and I'm searching a contact, and I'm just going to use this person here as an illustration. So I'm looking for Howard Jameson, and I find Howard Jameson at QualicServe. This is the right contact. This is the right account. I can actually go over here and find the access list, and I always have trouble finding it. I usually can find it easier if I do it this way. Right here, I can click on this field, and what this does here is it has a list of all of the people who are associated to this contact, and I could actually add myself I go and I find myself, again, it's case sensitive, so I'm using this last name starting with, I click find. And I could actually add myself to that, and this person would now appear on my contacts view. Okay. So what you do, you know, you query the same way in the all contacts view as you do in the accounts view. With opportunities, query, you have a My Opportunities view. If I know, really querying in opportunities, you cannot query for Cognos products in Siebel. You don't. That's not where you would look for it. The product information is in the revenue record, and you cannot query on anything that's in a revenue record. So I could query, for instance, if I wanted to look for all of the Cognos. Oh, I'm going to have to do this on all opportunities. If I wanted to query for all of the Cognos opportunities which were migrated from Salesforce.com, they all start with a COG, a capital COG, and then the Salesforce.com opportunity number. So if you're looking for something that you had access to in Salesforce.com and you want to see it in Siebel, just add this capital the COG and the dash, and then key in the Salesforce.com number. You will be able to see the opportunity if it was migrated to Siebel. There are some that did not migrate. The reps actually have created those. Unfortunately, they will not file, the opportunity number will not have that same naming convention. It will just be a system-generated number. So they won't be as easy to find. You will have to have the rep or someone give you the opportunity number. Now, let's go back now and talk about how you create, and I'm going to go through the process of creating an account and creating an opportunity, a contact and an opportunity. Now, you are probably not going to be creating accounts very much. I don't know if you'll even be creating contacts or opportunities, but I do want to take you through how you do that, just in case that's something that becomes necessary for you to do. And then we'll talk about creating activities against all of these. So let's go back to the accounts. The first thing you want to do is to look for an account first. Look for an account and a contact before you create one. Because if you create a new account, this is why we very much discourage anybody doing this unless they really have really, really searched for it. You are going to put it automatically in GB. Any new account that's created goes to general business. Now, you may be creating an account that really should be in the aligned or integrated space. Unless you put a customer number in there that you know is going to associate it to that correct aligned or integrated coverage ID, most of the time you're not going to know the customer number and you're not going to know the coverage ID. So that's why it's really important to make sure that you've looked first. If you're kind of lazy and think, well, I'll just go ahead and create it, just remember that if it's something that does not fall in the GB space, you have made GB and the aligned reps mad because you have inflated the GB pipeline and you have deflated the aligned pipeline. So say I have now queried for my account and for this account that I'm looking for, and I can't find it. I'm going to go to the My Accounts view. And you can actually create it in the All Accounts view. It's not going to cause a real problem, but but it's better to do it in the My Accounts view. And you're going to click New. Now, one thing I would caution you is that you are in a live system now. So if you are creating a real account, you don't have to do this. But if you guys wanted to play around with this a little bit and create an account or something like that, make sure that you put $SME in front of what you have created. That alerts the system administrators that this is not real. It's not real opportunity data, it's not real account data, and it's not a real contact data. But in the course of you're actually working in the system live, you don't put this SME, $SME. So I'm going to create, since it's cold and snowy and we're looking for spring, I'm going to call it spring. So I will now, I've given it a name. You have to put in a name. You have to put in an address. And you put in the city and the state. But if you know the postal code, it will automatically fill in the city and the state for you. And then you have to put in a phone number. So, and you can put it in any format, and it actually changes it to the right, the way it wants it. So I have now created an account. That's basically all you need, but you do need those things: the name, the street address, the city, the state, the country, the postal code, and the main phone number. Just very basic information. Okay, so I have now created a an account. Now I want to create a contact against that account. So I will go to the contacts sub-tab here. I don't go back up here to this contacts tab at the top. I go to the one under that specific account, and I click contacts. And since I have just created the account, there are no contacts. I will again click new. Now, again, your columns may not be in this particular order, so you may have to scroll over to the right to find something. So I'm going to put the first name, the last name, the first name, and a salutation. A salutation is a required field for a contact in Siebel. Because this data is used by other people, it's very important that there is a proper salutation in there in case we contact this contact. We want to know for sure whether we're contacting a gentleman, a woman, a lady, you know, so that we can make sure that when we address it, we can address it Mr. Pat Kelly, Ms. Pat Kelly, Mrs. Pat Kelly, Dr. Pat Kelly, whatever we need to do, we need to make sure that we've got that information correct. And then you put in their job title. And it's a free form field. Then the next required field is you either have to put in a work number or an email address, or you can put in both. Now, if you put in an email address, you're going to get this screen, which is going to ask you, is it okay to contact this account via email? And what you want to do, unless you know for sure that this person doesn't mind getting information, email, a lot of email from IBM about products, services, and other offerings, leave it unanswered and click finish or cancel either one. So, you know, IBM has a suppression process, and in IBM, you have to opt in to be contacted by our marketing team with product information. Most companies use an opt-out that says if you don't tell us you don't want it, we're going to send it to you. With IBM, you have to tell us you want it, or we assume you don't want it. Okay? So now I have created a contact against that account that I just created. One thing I want to say let me just go ahead and go through this process, and then I'll go back to what you do if you want to create a contact under an account that's already set up. Now, I'm going to create an opportunity against this accountant contact. What I want to do, again, I'm staying on the I'm going to hyperlink to this contact, okay? So you see how this last name is in blue and it's underlined when I click on it? That is a hyperlink. So I'm going to hyperlink to that contact. Now my contact information is up here. I'm going to click under this opportunities tab that's under the contact, not the one that's at the top, but the one that's under the contact. And I'm going to create new. So I'm on the opportunities sub tab here under this contact. I'm going to click create new. Now I have all of my opportunity information. I have filled out some default information here, so I'm going to have to put in an opportunity description. And for you, your opportunity description, if you're creating an opportunity, it's going to be the same convention that you use for the opportunity name in Salesforce.com, which is the account name and the product. Or Sandra can clarify that for you if you need it. I can't remember exactly what it is.
It's account name underscore department underscore primary product.
Okay. The one I couldn't remember was the department name. I knew there was something between the account name and the product. I couldn't remember what that was. Okay. Thank you, Sandra. All right. I'm going to have to put in an opportunity source. Everything else is already filled out for me. Because I started with the contact, I already have the contact name, I have the account, I have my opportunity number, and I've put in some predefined fields that are already filled out for me. Okay, my opportunity source is the next thing I'm going to put in. So I click on the little, there's a little square with little colored dots in it next to the field for source. And I'm going to click down and I'm going to find the proper source. And you can see here all the different sources that are available. So there's software technical sales. So if you're creating something and you're in technical sales, you could use that, and that would, you would be the source of the opportunity. So I'm going to add that as my source. Now, the first source you put in is the primary source. You cannot change the primary source once an opportunity has been created. So if you need to make sure you get it right the first time. This is not something that you can go back and change. And there's really nobody that I know of that has the capability to update that source. I have pretty high update capability, and I cannot update a source. I cannot change the primary. Now, you can add other sources to it as secondary sources, but the first one you put in will always be the primary source. Okay, so I'm going to close that now. I have put in my source. Buying behavior is something else that was in Salesforce.com. It's a required field in Siebel, even though it does not have the little red star next to it. It is required, and it's required. The reason it doesn't have a doesn't have a star next to it, is that it's not required until you get to, I think, cell stage 4, or maybe cell stage 5. So what would happen is if I don't put this in now and I start to try to advance it, it's going to tell me I have to put buying behavior in. The same thing is true here for the competitor data. Competitor data is a little bit harder to find because it's down in the middle, kind of at the bottom of the second column under the KeyOM data tab that I'm on here. In Siebel version 8, the buying behavior, the competitor data, those fields are right underneath the first, in the first column, first two rows, so that they're easier to spot because they are required. So I'm going to put in competitor data. Mm-hmm. And again, I click on the little square there, the multi-value square, and I will pick SAP. That's one of Cogna's competitors. Again, I have to put it in all caps. I find SAP, and I click the Add button to move it over to the right. You can put in multiple competitors, but one is the main competitor. So if you've got more than one competitor, you've got secondary competitors, you can go ahead and put them all in at this time. All you would have to do is just go back up to that Find at the top there, Find and put in whatever your other competitor is and add them. So you can add any number of competitors. You can also put some information like what is the threat. It's really only required that you put the name in there, but you can put in, you can rank them, you can put in a low, high, whatever, and you can put in a status and any comments that you need to make on the competitor field. So you close that. And now we're ready to create the revenue record. So this is the record that we're going to create, which gives us the details of what is behind this product, or excuse me, the product details the customer is going to use. So the detail revenue data field is on the first field on the second column under my key OM data. So again, I'm going to click the little square with the colors on it. And then on the next screen, I get a pop-up screen, and I'm going that says revenues. There's nothing there because there are no revenue records yet, and I'm going to click New. Okay, now I get this screen that gives me the information which is going into my revenue record. The first thing I have here is my bill date. My bill date automatically defaults to 90 days from the date I'm creating the record. So if you have, if you need to change that, you can change it here. You can change it later. It is an editable field. My offering type is software. We did not set up key opportunity defaults yet, but if I have set up the key opportunity defaults, it's automatically going to give me the offering type level 10 of software. It's going to give me the brand code level 20 of software analytics and performance, which is the Cognos products. Now I'm going to have to pick the specific product family, level 30. So I go down, and now I have a list of all of those, the Cognos products that you saw on the chart in the overview presentation. So I'm going to pick Cognos Planning and Forecasting. And so now I have my product information filled out. So again, I did not take you through setting up key opportunity defaults. I will do that in just a minute when I finish this. But if you have not filled that out, you would go to offering type level 10, and you would pick software. You would go to product level 20. And pick software analytics and performance. And then you pick the product on the level 30, the product information. Okay, periodic quantity, you're going to leave at 1. You're going to go down to periodic revenue, and you're going to put in the revenue amount. Now, the revenue amount that you're going to put in is without maintenance. Siebel is not used to track maintenance. So I think Salesforce.com has calculated this for you by taking 80% of the amount and making that the license revenue. You're going to have to do that yourself. Siebel will not do it, so you need to put in the license amount only. The total duration is going to be 1 in most cases unless there's something that's going to be shipped over a six-month period, or, you know, there are some of the folks, I think, who deal possibly with OEM who and maybe with partners who have something that's going to have this monthly shipping for 6 months or something like that. But for the most part, it's going to be one. Then the next field you have is flow code. Now, flow code does not have the asterisk by it to show that it's required, but it is, in fact, required. So you're going to pick workstation software one-time charge. I don't know if any of you would ever be dealing with OEM. That is a choice. But workstation software one-time charge is what you would be dealing with most of the time. So in any case, it should be one of these two. If you happen to be dealing with OEM, it's OEM. But for everything else, it's workstation software one-time charge. So you're going to put that in. That's a required field. And then your probability. Your win probability is right underneath that. The revenue records are what controls the probability of the opportunity. So multiple revenue records with different probabilities will result in the main opportunity being an average of all of those revenue records. So I'm going to leave it at 10%. That's what it defaults to. The component rep is going to need to be the person who's forecasting the information. So it's going to be forecasting this particular line item on the opportunity. If I click on this right now, all it's going to give me is my name because I'm the only one on the sales team. So the person who's going to be the forecast rep needs to be put on the sales team, and I'll show you how to do that as soon as I get out of this, finish creating this revenue record. So the only other field that is required here is if I go down this form, I'm going to get to platform, and I need to put in a platform. So here are the choices. And I click Save, and I have now created the revenue record. So if I close this, it now has filled in my revenue and my probability in the main screen up here. And I have now completed the opportunity. So basically the steps you go to are you look in the account, you find the account, then you find the contact, and then from the contact you create the opportunity. To add a sales team member, again, I'm on the top part of the screen here, and the very last field in the fourth columns over here says opportunity sales team. So I'm going to add Sandra to the sales team. So I get the screen. Up at the top, there's find, last name. I'm going to find Sandra. If I can spell it, there we go. And I add her to the sales team. Now, if I wanted to make Sandra the primary on the sales team, all I have to do is highlight her name, click on her name, and click Set Primary. I'm not going to pass the primary to Sandra, but that's how I do it. Now, if I want Sandra, I can own this opportunity, but Sandra can be the forecast rep. If I want Sandra to be the forecast rep, I go back here to the detailed revenue data again. And I find the component rep field over here. I click on it. And I can now make Sandra the component rep by just highlighting her name and clicking pick. So I own the opportunity, but Sandra is going to be forecasting this particular line item. And I can create multiple line items if I need to. So That is how we, you know, how you create an opportunity. Now, in most cases, we're going to go to an account, and we're going to find the account that we want to create the opportunity against. We're not going to create a new one. And we look for the contact, and if we don't find the contact, we just go ahead and click new. This one doesn't have any contact. So if I needed to create an opportunity against the Madison company here, I would click contacts and I would click new. And I could create a contact and then go through the same steps to create an opportunity. Now, the last thing I want to go through is to go through these user preferences, because I do want to show you how to do that. Under user preferences, the first tab that you have under user preferences across underneath the main tabs, you have a profile. And you want to go into that profile and set your time zone. And again, you just click on the field. And up at the top here, it says find time zone name. You actually want to go and find the standard abbreviation, because that is that the time zone name has this GMT minus 5, and unless you know what that is for your time zone, you're probably not going to be able to find anything. So you can type standard abbreviation, and for me, I'm going to type Eastern with a capital E, and then I'm going to put an asterisk after it. Asterisk is your wild card, and when you're searching for something, it's always a good idea to put the asterisk. Now, again, I believe that Siebel 8 is going to automatically put asterisks on there, so you're not going to have to do this, which is why I'm not really emphasizing it on this call, because, again, Monday is the day when all of this changes. And I click pick, and it's going to put in the Eastern time zone for me. You can also add a My Siebel template, which is the field that's underneath the time zone. You go in. There's a limited number of templates, and all this basically does is eliminate some of the tabs across the top, and it actually changes some of your default queries. I'm not going to set up put a template in there, because if I do, it will wipe out all my customization. But again, brand, I think there might be, I'm trying to see if there's a technical sales. If there's not technical sales, then I don't think there is. Then what you need to do is just add the brand sales rep, non-IGS. Okay, you can set up default queries. And basically what this does is for each one of the views under each one of the tabs at the top, you can determine what goes in this query box here. For your key opportunity defaults, this is one that's very important. Once you click one of those templates, you can actually, it actually fills in some of this, but you do not want to put anything in the source, because that's the only field that cannot be changed once you create an opportunity. So you do not want to put something in there as a default, and then every time you create an opportunity, it goes in because you can't change it. All the rest of these fields, if you put something in there, you can change it when you create the opportunity. So you want to make opportunity type, single brand components, if that's not in there. You want to make opportunity ISA, product or service purchase. And opportunity sales stage, it defaults to 3. You can make it a 1 or a 2, depending on where you think the opportunity is. And then the decision date, Siebel has a decision date and a bill date. They should be, in most cases, the same date. And Siebel defaults that to 90 days. So your decision date and your bill date will be 90 days from the date you create the opportunity, and then you can adjust it. You want to put in my sales team role, and I believe there is a technical sales. I'm almost sure I found that somewhere. There's an awful lot of sales team roles here. Software industry.
I think, Melinda, for this group, we use team member non-billable.
Okay. Yeah, that's always the default if you can't find it. So it's team member non-billable, which is up here. Okay. So you would put that in as your sales team role. Now, your sales team members, this is where, and Sandra, would they set up sales team members, and would you like to explain what they might do for the sales team member, who they might need to put in those?
Sure. On the sales side, they have put the technical account manager as their default sales team member. So as they create new opportunities, Rochelle in New York, you'll see all of the New York ops, Rick in Boston, and so forth. And then you can add individual techs to opportunities as you assign them and the opportunity progresses. So on the sales side, pretty much the technical account manager and the inside sales are their two defaults. I'd say for the SAP fighter pilots on the call, you'd put Jason as a default team member. For the SPO coach, you'd put your manager in there. But for the individual SAs on the call, you probably don't need to set up a default sales team at all here. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay. So setting up sales team members, basically, as Sandra said, what this does is it puts this person on every opportunity that you create. So if there's somebody that needs to be on every opportunity you create, you need to set them up as defaults, and it saves you time. So basically, you add them to the defaults the same way you add them to the sales team. You look for their last name. So if I were going to put Sandra on all as one of my sales team members, I type her last name. I do find. And since she's the only Brogy in Siebel, it automatically put her name in there. Ordinarily, you would get a list of people, and then you have to find them and do the add. And then I'm going to put Sandra's sales team role on there as she's my field rep. I'm going to put software specialty SSR there as her role. So now every time I create an opportunity, Sandra is going to be on my sales team. Now at the very bottom of that first row where it says sales team member, there's opportunity BTT type. There should be a 1 in there, but if there's not, you need to add it. Okay, over here, this is where we put in the information on the opportunity, the offering type, and the brand code. This is where I already had software and software analytics and performance in my opportunity revenue record that I created. So for offering type, we would click on the multi-value list icon there, and we pick software. Okay, now when I go to my product level 20 brand code, it's going to only give me software brands. And it's a little bit more than the brands. It's a little bit more granular than that. But for purposes of the way it's labeled, we'll call it that. So I'm going to pick the very first one, which is analytics and performance management. And I pick that. Now, when I create an opportunity, that information is automatically going to be filled in, and all I have to do is pick the Cognos products. I don't have to go through and pick these every time I create an opportunity. Now, the only other thing I'm going to talk about is the tab layout. And again, I'm not going to talk about this in any detail, but just to let you know that this is something that you can do. Is if my tabs across the top have been rearranged because I put the ones that I actually use the most at the beginning. So you can see here that the tabs all have numbers beside them. I can go and reorder these by simply typing in a 1 next to the tab that I want to see first, a 2 next to the next one, et cetera, et cetera. You do not have to renumber all of them. If you've got 5 tabs that you're working with all the time, all you have to do is type up those first 5 and then Siebel should slide the rest of them back in the same order, but put your the top five that you've typed as the first five. You can also say, okay, for accounts, I want my default view to be all accounts. So when I open the accounts tab, I'm going to see all accounts. And all you have to do for that, if I wanted to change this to my accounts, I just click in this field, and there's a little box that appears, and I put a check mark there. And that's going to be my default view. And the all accounts view check that I had there will disappear. But I want to change that back. I don't want. So for each one of the views for contacts, you can set up, for each one of the tabs, you can set up a default view. Okay, the only other thing I want to mention is columns displayed. If you sign on to Siebel, this is a usability thing. There's some columns, the default that Siebel puts in here, there's some columns that you are never going to use. There's things like priority flag, new, light opportunity, et cetera, things that you're not going to use. So you can either get on the list like this. You can do a right-click, and when you do, you get that menu button, and you have a columns displayed. And you will then be presented with a screen which gives you all of the available columns and all of the selected columns. And so if you want to move the columns around, you highlight the column name, and you can move it up and down with these arrows here. If you want to completely remove it, you can click the left-pointing arrow, and if you want to add a column, you can do the right-pointing arrow. And you can save that, and it will rearrange your columns so that the things that you want to see are displayed. Now, you do have to do that for every one of your views. It doesn't automatically change over. So, but you, over time, as you start working with views, you will start changing that around. The other thing is, now you see that I am on my opportunities and my open opportunities. If I wanted to export that to a spreadsheet, what I do is click the menu button under the opportunities here, where I've got my list right up above my list. I click on the menu button, and there is an export all the way almost at the bottom. There is an option to export. So I click on that, and I click on Next. And it will open up a CSV file in Excel with that information. Okay? All right, Sandra, do you have anything that you need to add now at this point?
I do. Some of it's just more comments. Thank you, Melinda. In general, this team will be working with existing opportunities, not necessarily creating ops, but that's a new feature that if you, instead of emailing a rep, if you found an opportunity, you can actually create one for them. They'll see it in Siebel. The only thing I ask is if you make sure stage is put at stage 4 and probability on the detailed revenue record is put to 0%. That's how the business development team is working. And what that allows the rep to do is to then consume the information, decide if it's valid, not a duplicate, and then they'll move the probability to 10%, and then it will be in their forecast. So that's a way for you to give visibility to, you know, an opportunity without it really showing in someone's forecast before they accept it. Okay? Also, what I wanted to let everyone know is that anybody on the opportunity sales team can add you to the opportunity. And everyone on the opportunity sales team has read-write access to the opportunity. Okay? And when you use the My Opportunities view, it will show you all opportunities where you're a sales team member, not necessarily that you own the opportunity. Melinda, will you show them how to check their position in the profile? Melinda?
Oh, I'm sorry, I had put myself on mute. You mean in user preferences, their profile? Is that what you're
talking about? Yeah, so that, you know, people are not aligned to a business unit. They're aligned to an IMT. And 4R is the East IMT, 4T is the West IMT, 4N is the is Canada, 4X is federal, and OEM will follow those four categories as well. So that's primarily how North America is set up. There is a N America 1 status, which means you get to see all the commercial opportunities in North America, not federal. And then there's an America status, which means you get to see all North America and federal. So if we have not put you in the correct position, you contact Melinda. Who do they contact?
They need to contact Fred Lennon.
Okay. Fred Lennon. It's L-E-N-N-O-N. And if you same time him or email him, he'll change your position for you.
Yeah, and the one thing I did want to say, the Americas is also Latin America. So if you only need, there is a North America view if you need the U.S. and Canada. So unless you need Latin America, you don't want the Americas or Americas 1. You want NA, North America or NA 1. And this, the way you do that is you go to your user, you go to user preferences, and it defaults to open to your profile. And if you go over to the third column, there is a field that's labeled position that has a red asterisk by it. If you click on that, you can see under division what you have access to. I have access to all the Americas, but it, and it's also the last, at the, after the last dash in your position.
Okay, thank you. Also, if you want to know what opportunities have migrated from Salesforce.com and which ones have not, when you look up the opportunity in Salesforce.com using the S-dash number, you'll see at the tail end of the opportunity something called IBM Siebel Load Status, and those that did not migrate will say not migrated, which means the rep during training the past 2 weeks has entered that opportunity in Siebel. So it no longer will have the COG-S-6 digit number. It will have a Siebel op number, which usually starts with a 1- or a 2-. So if you want to be added to those opportunities, you need to ask the rep what the new Siebel op number is and then ask them to add you to the op sales team for those. So I wanted to cover that. This team also in Salesforce.com filled out what we call the technical environment in Siebel. That is really held in the Notes tab, and it's a text-only type of field. So, Melinda, if you can just show them like how to enter a note, it's just pretty much typing. But this is where, if you feel it's important to highlight that there's a specific OLAP server environment here or something specific about the environment, it's not reportable, searchable like we had in the past with pick list fields. It really is just a text, you know, notes field.
Okay. So what you do is on that previous screen, I highlighted a specific opportunity. Let me go back to my opportunities and do this because I don't want to do it against somebody's real opportunity. So I have an opportunity here, and if I click on the Notes tab underneath, I have an opportunity highlighted up here, or I can actually hyperlink to the opportunity either way. And one of my tabs across the bottom there is Notes. So I click on that Notes tab, and I click New. And it's automatically going to tell the system that I created it. That's my ID. I believe that's my serial number, my country code, and it has an I in front of it because I have an active ID. Okay, then you put in the type. So you click on the down list. It's there's quite a number of types. Most of the time, it's an IBM comment. It actually defaults to that. And then, as Sandra says, it's just freeform text. So you just type in whatever you want the whatever you want it to say. Okay.
This group could be attaching things such as, you know, your POC agreements and of that nature, and you could be tracking activities.
Yeah, I just realized I did not cover activities, so I apologize. I'll go back and cover that.
Now?
Yeah, I can do it now. Basically, you can put an activity against accounts. So if I have, here's my accounts, I'm going to use my accounts for you because these are my dummy accounts. I don't want to do it against real accounts, but you would find your account. You go search like we showed you, and then once you have found the account, you can either hyperlink to it through the legal name hyperlink, or you can just highlight it, and you click on Activities at the bottom of the page, and you create new, and you're going to see some activities because there are the system puts some activities, the admin system, like it says I added somebody to it and they declined and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I put the type here. So there's a lot of different types of activities. It's call, closeout call, crit sit, email, whatever type of activity I need to find the best description for it. So I'm going to say this is a call. I can put a priority against it, which says it's either high or low, medium. The status is, you know, you can either, you probably don't want to put anything when you first create it because that, I think that status is something you use to update it. So, and then you put in a description. So I'm going to put in, so I put in a description of it. Okay. What happens is, and you'll notice that all of these other activities that are against this particular account have the archive description and they have nothing in the description. What happens with this is once I step off this, and go, if I go back to my accounts list and I go back to my accounts and I go back to the cookie company and I click on activities, what should have happened is that moved over to the archive. You cannot amend a note. You cannot change a note, the description or anything about the note. You do not have the ability to, or an activity or a note for that matter. You can't delete the note. You cannot delete the activity. You cannot delete, you can't really delete anything in Siebel. It's a business controls issue. So if I wanted to update this note, I would actually have to create a new note and put in a brand new description above it to say, okay, I can change the status, obviously, and I can change the due date, and I can change who it's assigned to. I can put the completion. I cannot change the description. One thing I did, kind of a key thing that I forgot to do, was you assign it to someone. So if you've got an activity and you want it assigned to yourself, that's fine. It defaults. But if I wanted to assign this activity to somebody else, again, I click on the field, I click on the multi-value list, and I would search for the person I wanted to assign it to. And so, Sandra, if I assign this activity to you, I add you, and then I move the primary to you. And so now it's assigned to you as opposed to me. Okay?
Okay.
And you can do that against accounts, contacts, and opportunities. It's the same process. You add them exactly the same way. Okay?
Okay. You want to show them an attachment real quick? It's pretty straightforward, but.
You can do that. So I want to add an attachment to this. All I have to do is go to the Attachments tab. And I do new. And then I just find the document that I want to. So say I wanted to attach the Atlanta enablement class list to it. Takes me to my Excel files. I think it probably actually takes you to all your files. Let me see. Because I think I could attach my, yeah. I could attach my PowerPoints, whatever, all the different type of files that you can attach. And so you find the file you want to attach and just click open. And it attaches it, and then I can put comments on it, whatever I want to do. I could put Atlanta class list here.
But I think the important thing to know, attachments, notes, those are not reportable any longer, and we had them as fields in Salesforce, so that may change some of your business processes. Also, a few other comments and things that Melinda did cover. TM1 product belongs into the product family called Cognos Planning and Forecasting. That came up during some of the sellers' training, so I wanted to highlight that. For the FPM SWAT team members that are on the phone, you have three product families for FPM, Cognos Express being one, Cognos Financial Consolidation being a second, and Cognos Planning Forecasting being your third. During the Q&A, if you have specific questions of what products fall into those three families, let me know. I do have a GBT, which is a global brand table value that was sent out in the FAQ, so you should have that as an attachment. For those that are on the Analytic App SWAT team, we have two, Cognos Packaged Applications and Cognos Scenario Analytics. And then for the BI folks on the phone, majority fall into Cognos Query Reporting Analysis, but there is a Cognos Scorecard Dashboarding for the Go Dashboard and a Cognos Unstructured Analysis for the Mashup Services. So those are kind of the seven categories that are available for the product families. It is important for this team to encourage and make sure reps are entering multiple revenue records on an opportunity based on the product family. This is how we're going to replace what we had previously in Salesforce called the product interest field. It's now multiple revenue records. Reps have to be encouraged to do that, and this is a good team to do that with them. Also, anytime you're working with an opportunity, double-check the component rep, make sure it's showing as a forecast rep, because no one on this call should be listed as a component rep on revenue records. Otherwise, it will not show up in ASFP, and then people are searching for it, and it wastes a lot of time. So that will be helpful. I did want to mention, maybe Melinda, you can show this quick, is for the technical account managers on the phone. You probably have been assigned a lot of opportunities. If you think a rep on average has 8 to 10 ops and there's, you know, 5 or 6 reps in each BU, that could be 50 or 60 opportunities that you have to assign out to team members. There is a feature called mass assignments when you're working with opportunities. Do you want me to wait, Melinda, till you get there? And you have a choice. You can do record by record. You can control click and just select certain records, or you could use the control A, which is select all feature. So I just wanted to kind of show you this shortcut. But if, you know, say you wanted to give the, you know, all, so that's control A, or the 1, 3, and 5 records, you can just control click records 1, 3, and 5 and click that mass assignment button that's up there and assign those to one of the techs on your team. So I wanted to save you time and make sure you knew how to do that. All right, let's see, what else? Since some of the training has happened more than 5 days ago, we probably have to show them the My Withdrawn Acceptance query, Melinda, because I did look at a few, like Rick Cabral and some of the other tech account managers. Their training was definitely over 5 days ago, so they're probably going to go into that view instead of my pending acceptance view. So, you know, you have the 5 day business days, which is my pending acceptance, but if you've missed that window, you've been on vacation, or you just were on the road, you can go into my withdrawn opportunities view in the query window, and that will show you which ones you have to sign out or accept as well.
Yeah, and let me explain. I don't have anything, so I can't show you how to do it from here, but let me show you how you would actually when it's my withdrawn, does it give you the accept opportunities? Because I've never done that. I think it actually does. You can accept the opportunities from there.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. But the other way you can do it, if you want to reject an opportunity, that's something I didn't really go over. There's another way to do this. So I can go to Open Opportunities and say I'm going to look at this one. It's probably mine, so I can't do it. But you can click on this opportunity sales team field down here at the bottom. And I could change my status here to rejected. So if you're, what you would see is you would see, normally see this, if you've been added to sales team and you have not yet accepted, this accept status right here will say pending acceptance. And if you want to reject it rather than accept it, you can go in, and with reject, you have to give a reason for doing it. Too busy for a new opportunity, opportunity missing key data, not valid qualified, lightning skills, whatever. You have to give a reason for rejecting it. And if you don't want the opportunity, it's better to go ahead and reject it than it is to just let it go into withdrawn status, because once it's been, you know, if you allow yourself to be withdrawn from it, the person who assigned you to the sales team has no idea why. They may think you're on vacation or whatever, and they may turn around and reassign it to you after 10 days. Whereas if you reject it, that person immediately knows, oh, I've given it to the wrong person, or this is not really a valid opportunity, and they can close it out or go find somebody else to assign it to instead of sitting there waiting for you to accept it because they think you just haven't gotten to it yet. So it's really, it takes a little more time to do it, but it's really, eventually in the long run, saves everybody a lot of time, and it saves the potential of lost business if you're not the right person. They need to get it to the right person, and they need to know who the right person is right away.
And my last comment is, you know, we certainly have trained the sellers how to set you up as part of the default sales team, and that's for any net new ops. For the COG ops during training, they had 2 hours to set up their ops sales teams, which majority of them mass assigned and added the technical account manager. But if they forgot, you know, the FPM SWAT team member or the SAP fighter pilot member or SPO coach, you can create a list of opportunities out of Salesforce.com that you have visibility to today. Append COG dash in front of the SFDC off number, and you can send that list to updates@us.ibm.com and request yourself to be added to the opportunity sales team. Now, when that's done and they come back and say you've been added, you need to go in and under the show window up in the upper left, do my opportunities, and under the queries on the upper right, do my pending acceptance, and then accept your position on the sales team. So that's an avenue for you to get yourself added if the reps haven't done it yet. So first check if you're on the sales teams for those opportunities, but those that they have not added you to, use this email address, updates@us.ibm.com. Send them an Excel with the IBM opportunity number. Okay. If those SFDC ops did not migrate, you need to get the 1-2 number in Siebel and ask for yourself to be added to the opportunity sales team. Make sure you tell them what team member role you're going to have, and it's team member non-billable. And that should get you guys started and seeing opportunities under my opportunities as part of the sales team. So for the essays on the phone, your managers probably can take care of this for you, but for the supporting teams, that's the best avenue to get yourself added to ops sales teams. Obviously, one by one, you can ask the rep to add you to certain ops you're working with. But if you want a mass list, that's a way to go about doing it. I think that's it, Melinda, that I had.
Okay. Julie, I think that's your name. If you could open up for questions, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. Please unmute your line and record your name when prompted. To withdraw your request, press star two. Again, to ask a question, please press star one and record your name. One moment, please. Please stand by for the first question. Your first question comes from Zanadin. Your line is open.
Yes. So I come from the TSA organization, and I know there's many other TSA members on this call here. So for the purpose of our role, Are we that support team that you defined that are supporting those SAs? And if so, how would we get included in this? Is this something that our manager would do it, the SA manager would do it, or the rep should add us? I'm not clear on that.
Okay. By default, if the rep is engaging someone from the TSA team, they should add them to the opportunity sales team. They will forget. So if they ask you to engage on an opportunity, then you prompt them and say, do you mind adding me to the opportunity sales team so I can see the opportunity details in Siebel? They've been trained on how to do that. You've been trained on how to do that, so you have to work together to remind them to add you to the team. Now, you can see all opportunities, which is the header record, the top section of the opportunities. You just won't see the revenue record details, which shows you the product family and all of those details. So if they mention an opportunity to you, you can find it, and then you can send them an email and say, for this opportunity number, can you add me to the opportunity sales team if I'm going to work this opportunity? Your manager won't be able to add you unless they were on the opportunity sales team already.
Yeah, the only people who can add you to a sales team or somebody who's on the sales team are the folks at the email address that Sandra gave you. They have some update capabilities that most people don't have. So that's something I think I forgot to mention, is that only somebody on the sales team can add you to the sales team.
Does that answer your question?
It does, but it just brings up one other thing. Do I need to update it for any reason that, you know, let's say that I finished my POC with that at this opportunity? Do I update it, or is that something, again, back to the SA to keep this updated?
I think more direction on that will come out from Tanya and team. So they had to sort of see the application first, and I think a little bit more direction on activity passing between the SAs and the TSAs need to be worked out as a business process.
Okay, thanks.
Paul, is that fair? Paul Pelletier, is that fair? He may be on mute, but... All right, I'll assign that to you, Paul, to follow up on. Okay, next question.
Next question comes from Peter. Your line is open.
Yeah, you just alluded to something, and perhaps this is something that's coming, but I came over from another group at IBM, so I've been using Siebel for several years. There's a very prescribed business process typically that goes along with this, and it's unclear to me how Cognos, each group kind of uses the Siebel and the various roles somewhat differently. Is there some clear direction or instructions as to, you know, how the SAs versus sales reps are to be, you know, doing all this entry?
That is what needs to follow. So that's the business process I was mentioning. So Tanya and her management team needs to get together, review, like you said, the prescribed IBM processes, and now that you're enabled in Siebel, they can roll that out as they see fit.
Super, thanks. And is that going to be some of the things in the past that we had some documentation surrounding, like in these slides, are we going to get any of this in some kind of hard copy format or soft copy format for our reference later?
This is being recorded, so the recording's available to you so you can see the screenshots. The set of slides we have are just the beginning part. So, you know, certainly when the business process rolls out of how the best practices of how they want you to use the application, that will be something that's hard copy.
And I can also send you the presentation if you want it.
No, that's fine. If it's something I've wrapped up with the actual final business process, that makes a lot of sense. So thank you very much.
Next question comes from Jason. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Jason DeVoe. Thanks. I've actually gotten some links to join some teams, and I've tried to go onto the Siebel system and sign on. I haven't been able to yet. I'm not sure if that's a problem on my machine or if I haven't been given access yet. So should we all have access now? And if so, is there some documentation as to any prereqs or troubleshooting docs for getting into the Siebel?
So your login is your IBM intranet login.
Yep.
And there, Melinda, when they first log into Siebel, it should kick into Workstation Checker, correct?
Yeah, what is your name?
This is Jason DeVoe.
Yeah, he's active. So, yes, all of your accounts have been set up, and it seems like we have a connectivity issue, Jason, specific to what you're doing. The other thing to mention is if any of you are running IE8, it won't work until the next version of Siebel, and it doesn't work with Firefox.
Does it work with IE7, Sandra?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what I'm running in. I'm not even able to get past the login screen now. So is it someplace I can go to?
How do you spell your last name, Jason?
D-E-V-E-A-U.
Oh, D-E-V-E-A-U. Okay. You can. I was trying to see if, you know, if make sure you were D-E-V-E-A-U.
Yep.
Yeah, you're active. Were you trying to use the link that was in the note? Did you try just copying and pasting the link into Siebel, into your browser? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did try that.
Okay. Yeah. You may need to call the Siebel help desk. What you do is you call the IBM help desk. 888 IBM user, I guess is what it is. And then you go through 4111 on the options. There could be a problem with the way your browser is set up.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mhm. Okay, I think we're ready for the next question.
Your next question comes from Brian. Your line is open.
Hello. Quick question. I heard that you said that IE8 won't be supported until the next release of Siebel. Is that version 8 of Siebel, or is it something later?
I believe that's only version 7. I'm not sure, honestly. I'll have to check on that, because I don't know.
Brian, we've had people in training that did upgrade to IE8, which you weren't supposed to do, but it has worked, but some features are flakier. But we heard that Siebel 8, which is Monday's version, works a lot better with IE8.
Yeah, I would just caution you that anytime, if you don't upgrade anything until you get it through ISSI, they will push down upgrades to you. Because a lot of times, the same thing with Microsoft and anything else, if you get a note that says, you should upgrade this, unless it comes through ISSI, which is, you know, IBM's internal software installation, you know, you get patches and all that other kind of stuff, you should not ever go ahead and do it, because IBM applications are, if you haven't found out yet, sometimes they're a little funky and squirrely, and they only work with a certain version. And they have to work, when a new version of something comes out, they have to make sure everything works before they push it down to you. So that's just a caution on anything, Windows or anything else. You don't upgrade it until IBM tells you it's okay to upgrade it, or you may not be able to connect to things.
Okay. Will the help desk be changing their policies? Because I called them about the login, and they said that they only support IE6. Not IE7, and they don't support the Firefox browser that was pushed down by ISSI a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. That is, you know, that's a question for IT. I don't really know. I don't know why they wouldn't support 7, because most of us are on 7. We're not on 8, but we're not on 7. And I know the Firefox thing, Siebel does not work on Firefox at all. So if you call the Siebel help desk, they will not help you with Firefox. I don't know about the rest of the help desk if they will help you with Firefox, but Siebel will not work on Firefox at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Rochelle. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. I had a couple of questions around creating opportunities. You show that there was a revenue tab that has to be completed. If we're just doing an opportunity notice, how much of that revenue tab has to be filled in?
You really don't have to fill out. If you're just putting it in an early sales stage, like noticed or whatever, you don't have to fill out the revenue tab at all. It's required at sales stage 4. You can't advance it past sales stage 3 without the revenue record. And if it's noticed, it's really, really probably should not be going to any of our reporting systems. I mean, that's the other thing. A revenue record is required to make it go into forecasting and that sort of thing. But you could definitely not do the revenue tab and go ahead and assign it to a rep and leave it up to them to validate it, inside sales or LDRs or whatever. And they would then put in the revenue detail once they found out exactly what was going on and it was a validated opportunity.
Okay, great. And then one other question regarding the naming convention for the opportunity. I know you reviewed it, but I kind of missed it. Is that written anywhere that we can go find it?
Rochelle, it was during the Salesforce.com training, so it was long not written somewhere. But it's the account name underscore, you know, the middle sections department or the division you're working at of the account. So it could say IT or finance underscore and the primary product you're positioning, like Cognos Now or TM1, just so it has some meaning in reporting.
Okay.
And if you do want to enter the revenue record, feel free to do exactly what the sellers do. Stage 4 op, but zero probability, and just put in 80,000 if it's a, you know, BI or FPM deal, or you can put 50,000 if it's an express deal. Those are kind of our starting defaults that we use. So you wouldn't be out of, you know, context if you use those.
Okay, great.
But 0% probability will not flow to the forecast system, and the rep will then have to move it to 10% or higher for it to hit their forecast. So feel comfortable that 0% probability is okay.
Okay. And then another question is, what if we're noticing opportunities outside our brand? Will we have enough information?
Yeah, you know, for right now, if you're going to set up your default, you know, for level 20, to be, you know, software analytics and performance management, then you shouldn't create a revenue record, but you could create a one or two, meaning a noticed or identified opportunity, and assign that to somebody else outside the brand.
Okay. You can change the level 20 if you're creating a revenue record and it's not analytics and performance management. You could change it, you know, even if it is set up in your defaults.
Is your specific question around SPSS?
No, actually, any of the brands that we're, you know, associated with. So even something at Rational, Tivoli, ECM.
Yes.
Yeah, SPSS for sure, actually. That's a good question.
Yeah, on SPSS, those sellers aren't coming to Siebel until April, so they're using a web form to register leads between now until April. And we're working on getting the SPSS products under our brand code. So that's work in progress.
Okay, so if we notice an opportunity for SPSS, what's our action?
A URL where they're supposed to register leads.
Okay.
Yep, so that you can get that from the sales team.
Okay, great. All righty. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. At this time, there are no questions in queue.
Okay. Rochelle, I just did want to a little bit on what that question you asked. If I wanted to create a new revenue record here and I wanted to change this brand level 20, and the SPSS products are not in there at this point, but I can go down, you can see there's other I can look for all of the other level 20. So I just need to know what the level 20 is of the product. And I can change that. So even though I've set up my defaults for the Cognos analytics and performance, when I'm creating it, I can change it to another product. So just to make that clear, when SPSS is in there, you can certainly, you know, if you know that it's SPSS, you may not know the product, and that may be where you have the stumbling block, and maybe it's better to just, you know, go ahead and create the opportunity and then send it to an SPSS rep and let them figure it out and leave it in a 2 or 3, but you could do it if you had the information. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. Okay. Well, if there are no further questions, we're actually pretty good on time. We've got 4 minutes left from the 2 hours, and I appreciate you guys hanging in there for the whole 2 hours. I know sometimes it's tough to do that when you're on the phone. So,
do one more question, ma'am.
Okay.
Mike, your line is open.
Hi, this is Mike Westland. Some of us were tasked with using Salesforce as a utilization system, so we had to log our non-opportunity activities. How are we going to be doing that?
That has to, now that you actually CC'd what's available on the activities tab, that needs to be designed out. So no work has been done on that to date.
Okay, thanks.
And that was a very small group, so you know, probably, you know, if Al Catani's on the phone or somebody of that group, that needs to be planned out by looking at what's available now.
There are no further questions.
Okay. All right. At this time, then, we will close the call, and I appreciate your time and your attention, and hopefully this will be clear to you as you start to move into the Siebel, to the IBM world and to the Siebel world. So thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect your line at this time.